Please turn in your copy of God's Word to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 will be our passage for today. Here you'll find the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, the visitation of the angel. This is the story of Joseph. And we want to think today on Christmas characters. We want to think about the angels and their ministry in general in the life of the history of God's people, but also in particular in the Christmas story. There'll be a few other passages we'll make mention of, but this will be our jumping off point. So Matthew chapter 1 at verse 18, before we read, let's pray together. Lord, we come to you now. We come from a weary world, busy schedules, noisy, many voices calling for our attention. So give us a few moments of quiet that we might hear your voice. We might learn of your ways, your work in the world, and we might marvel at the goodness of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and in his coming. Hear us and help us as we make our prayer in the name of Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God from Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. This is the word of the living God for us. Several years back, I went to a little conference for preachers, and the evening preacher got up. He stood in the pulpit and he said to all of us, I've been assigned to talk to you about angels. And he says, I don't know a whole lot about angels, but I know more than you do. That was his introduction. Rather clever. The same is probably true here. I don't know too much about angels, but possibly I know more than you do. The question for us, though, is what is our source of knowledge? Is it popular Christian art? If so, because angels are chubby cherubs, right? They look like our darling babies once they have fattened up a little bit. You know, the fat thighs, the fat cheeks attach angels' wings. And there you have what many people for centuries have determined to be what angels must look like. Well, that doesn't help us too much. Then you go to pop culture. You know, angels are children in a pageant. You know, they're children with just wings stuck on them. You know, and some little piece of wire cutter with a halo, wire pipe thing, whatever, a little halo. Or worse, you could go to Hallmark and you could peruse the aisle of cards or maybe even the art section. And there you might get a concept of what is an angel. But we'd be better off going to the scriptures. And I think as you saw from Judges chapter 13, angels seem to be in all kinds of places, tucked away into all sorts of places in the Bible. And we see many times in the Bible encounters with angels. These experiences are terrifying. Now, you know the drill today. Everybody in America wants to have some epic experience, and they want to tell you about it. And now they're armed with Facebook. And so they can do it quite easily. And so you'll see these stories around. I once met an angel. And my question is this: how terrified were you? That seems to be the mark of the scripture, isn't it? When someone encounters one of these holy ones from heaven, they were undone. They probably had to change their clothing. They probably were forever changed, because that experience so terrified them and so revealed to them who they are, a creature, and who God is. He is mighty and he is great. Angels appear all over the scriptures. You go back to the story of Adam and Eve, and they're breaking God's one law that he gave them, at least the explicit one we know of: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day you eat of it, you will die. And so in the garden, when God excommunicated them from his presence, he put a cherubim, an angel with a flaming sword, at the entrance. I used to think that was a horrible, mean thing of God. But then you read on in the scriptures, God did not want them to take hold of the tree of life and eat and live eternally in sin. No, he wanted to give them opportunity for mercy and grace in Christ. And we will one day eat from that tree of life and live forever in heaven, but not in sin. We'll live in righteousness because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You fast forward a little bit through the scriptures, and the angels pop up again in the 18th or so chapter of Genesis. Not only does God use the angels to protect the garden and the tree of life, he uses them to judge the wicked. The people of old, during Abraham's day, had gotten so rotten in their hearts, not only in their self-worship, but their unrighteous living. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding regions had become so corrupt and so wicked that their deeds had risen up to the heavens, and God came down in the form of angels to see what was taking place. They met with Abram. They announced to him the birth of Isaac in the year to come. But the angels went on to Sodom and Gomorrah to deal out the justice of God, because the wickedness could no longer be tolerated in his sight. And then you zip along in scriptures and you get Balaam and his donkey. He's on the way to curse the people of God, and an angel of the Lord appears to the donkey. That donkey sees this vision, this angel, and prevents Balaam from making his way to make the curse on the people. And then there's chapter 13 of Judges. It sounds like a common theme along the Christmas story, doesn't it? A barren woman, an aging couple, no child, but then God is ready to step in. And so who does he send to make the great announcement that Samson will be born, or that John the Baptist will be born, or that Jesus, Emmanuel, the Christ, would be born? He sends angels to make these special announcements. And then we get on into the Old Covenant a little more, and there's the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim flanking the seat or the throne of Almighty God. And that helps us see the picture that we often maybe have come to our minds as we think of angels living in the heavenly places, surrounding the throne room of God in heaven. We read descriptions of this where around the throne are angels in circles. And then maybe like choirs we might think of in our modern day, there's the angels surrounding the entirety of the throne and presence of God. And they day and night sing out and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." But at certain times and in special seasons where God is on the move, we might say turning points in history, particularly the 400 years of silence since God has revealed anything new to his people Israel, we have the message and the ministry of angels We've looked in the last couple of weeks at Zechariah and Elizabeth. We looked at Mary and Joseph. And now today we want to see how those angels ministered to them in special ways, special realities. There was Zechariah at the altar offering incense. His turn had come up as a priest in the temple. And the angel appears to him there at the altar and says to the old man, Zechariah, your wife will be with child. Your wife will bear a son. Your son will be the forerunner for the Messiah. He will open the way, the hearts of the people, for the coming of King Jesus. And then the angels go to a little house in Nazareth where there's a young gal betrothed to Joseph. She's with child. She's conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she's given the announcement from Gabriel, fear not. God has become pleased with you, and you will bear this little one. You will bear this great one. These angels have a special task. They come from the throne of God, from the presence of God. But I think it's also important to note they come from the heart of God. Only God would enter real space and time. He would enter real human history to save a people from their sins. And so from the throne of God come the angels of God, but from the heart of God comes the message of the angels. Fear not, God is with you. Good tidings. And on we see through the scriptures the angels' ministry. They come to the shepherds who are out in their fields tending their flocks by the night. One angel comes and says, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then suddenly around this one angel, we have the whole bright array of the heavenly host. And they come and they bear witness to the glory of God and the salvation of men through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we think of these angels? Their title simply means messengers. And we see in places in Scripture where angels come and give these great messages of hope and salvation. But we see sometimes where the whole host of angels come and do mighty and great works. I think of that passage in 2 Kings where Elijah and the people of God are surrounded by the Assyrians, that Assyrian army, massive and mean and nasty and scary. And the people of God were in great fear. And Elijah prayed, oh, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. And God did so. And the array of hosts in the surrounding mountains, and they were able to say, there are more of us than there are of them. You know, angels have fallen on hard times lately. They've appeared in our popular culture art. They've appeared in art over the centuries. And, well, in our minds, they're these chubby little cherubs. I was trying to think of a good comparison. We've sort of made them a mall cop, right? Sitting back in an office, you know, maybe asleep, watching a few screens. No service weapon. When in fact they're SWAT team, right? They're the Delta Force. They're the biggest and the baddest of God's created beings. And in some cases, I think we've sadly become, worshipers of angels. We think that, we think upon death, we become angels. That's popular in our culture, and that's not the case. And so it's good for us to be reminded of what God says to us in His Word about them. We see a little of what they do, coming at the turning points of history and making announcements. But we remember David's musings in Psalm 8. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And David, who is feeling small, he's out in the dark looking up at the nighttime sky. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you would look upon him? You've made us a little bit lower than the heavenly angels, the heavenly beings. Yet you have endowed us with dignity. See, only humans are made in God's image. Only humans bear the image of God and have the soul that will last forever. God has done a mighty and great thing in us, and he's done it through Jesus Christ. But I want to fast forward and remind you of the first couple of chapters of Hebrews. The first couple of chapters of Hebrews use the word better. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the high priest of the line of Aaron. Jesus is better than Melchizedek, that strange person who shows up in Genesis. But there's also one important better than that we ought to remember. Jesus is better than angels. So before we revere them too much, we should give them their due. They're God's majestic creatures that do his bidding. We ought to remember that these angels in the Christmas story come to serve as those who will announce the one who is greater than they are. Remember, Peter says of salvation, he says something of salvation in 1 Peter, that even the angels long to look into. And so you can imagine with great curiosity and great interest in the Christmas story that the angels who know Jesus as better than them has come into the world to save sinners. In fact, the book of Hebrews will tell us the reason Jesus is better than the angels is because he is the Son of God and he has received that title from his Father. And so they come and they worship and they adore him as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you and your word show us how great and mighty you are, how great and mighty even are your messengers. Lord, we're quick, we're tempted to worship that which is created and to overlook and even overshadow the eternal one. And we bless your great name in this hour for your Son, the only Son, the eternally begotten Son, who has come into this world at the announcement of angels to save sinners like ourselves. Lord, you are great and you are mighty, and we revere you and honor you as that now. And pray that your word would teach us and show us what we ought to believe about you and your ways so that we can serve you for your own glory. Hear us and help us now, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.